All right, amen. Here we are again, teaching others also, and this is going to be part four of Obey Whom? Obey Whom? We'll try to tie it all together here in this last radio segment. Titus chapter 3, and then if you will, before we even start, go ahead and get a hold of 1 Peter chapter 3. I feel like it's really important if we understand that one of the things that's happened within Christianity, and I mean even especially perhaps Bible-believing Christianity, is that their knowledge is actually misused to weave some truth in with how they feel about things and what's convenient. He says, use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, and you really shouldn't do that when it comes to the Bible. And we've been talking about this idea of who do you obey. We said start with obedience. The foundation of the Christian life is obey. Titus 3, Romans 13. And in a minute we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 3. And so start with obedience. Just unless it's just absolutely impossible. Now wait a minute. Hold it. Not impossible because it drives you crazy. Not impossible because you don't want to. Not impossible because you'd have to die to self. Impossible as in it totally violates the Bible, which is the second thing, is set Bible boundaries. Now I'm going to challenge you here. And it's up to you, not up to me. I'm not telling you what your Bible boundaries are, but I think you need to be real, real careful mingling a whole bunch of man-made stuff and convenient doctrine in with your Bible. You know, a lot of you are really, really clever at finding exceptions to the rule while you just ignore the volume of the rule. Yeah, amen. Someone says, well, you know, the Hebrew midwives and Rahab and hid the two spies and over and over and over and over, all this stuff. Yeah, that's true. And let's look at the rest of what it says, the volume of truth. See, if you're not careful, you'll think that you really will think you're the exception to God's rule. So we said start with obedience. We've already talked about that. And then we said set Bible boundaries. We've talked about that. You know, it's not a constitutional thing. You're to preach the gospel, live the gospel. You're to use only the force the Bible teaches we are to use as His people, not to exert the force that you think you ought to, or that you want to, or you saw in some Western movie, or some Western book, or some army thing, or some, you know, any of that kind of stuff. No, you're supposed to just be a good, old-fashioned Bible-believing believer. And if you're not careful, you're going to be gravitating towards what appeals to the old nature, but you're not your old nature. And you're not bound by that old nature. You're supposed to be bound by the new nature. Now, I want to say on the third one then, and I want to try to take as much of this fourth one, and we'll try to tie this together. By the way, I don't have any agenda here, but I have been burdened. I felt like the Lord put it on my heart for quite a while to just put something out there that God's people will slow down and listen and get hold of. And that is this. You need to know that you've obeyed God in every way possible before you start disobeying something that's going to cause conflict or trouble. See, you say, well, you're a pacifist. Absolutely not. I had a fellow sit across the table from me. I guess it was last year or whenever, maybe year before. I don't know. And it was hilarious to me. It was downright comical. And he said, well, are you still, you know, like a pacifist? Are you still? And I said, how do you figure that? Well, he said, you ought to obey the laws. I said, really? Does the Bible not say that? Have you ever noticed that there's nobody in your Bible that God commended them for rebelling when they could obey? And did you notice that Paul never did a jailbreak? He never called somebody to help him. He never tried to tweak the law. You say, well, one time he appealed to his Roman citizenship. That's fine. That's fine. But you ever notice how much mistreatment he received, and he didn't start some insurrection? He didn't, and all his epistles, he didn't preach and teach insurrection. He didn't teach a rebellious sort of attitude and spirit. You know why? Because we are supposed to suffer only for good. Now watch. If you obey something and you follow something, and somebody has made a bad law or impugned on your liberty, you still need to make sure you suffer only for good. How is that? All right, 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, I've limited a little bit of the passage for the sake of time, but also knowing that if you're serious, you're going to read your Bible some. And there's no need to debate nothing with me because I've got no dog in this fight. I know what God says for me. I'm not going to try to put it on you. I do know this, that someday I'll stand before God and He'll say, well, Michael, you could have read your Bible and you could have known this and this. So why did you get all this strife going when all you had to do was obey? Or when all you had to do was obey and take the lumps and be quiet about it? 1 Peter 3:13. Who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Okay, ready? Someone says, well, I know somebody who did good and they were harmed. Yep. He said, who is he that will harm you? Ready? Ready? He's immediately saying, if you do good and you suffer for it, then understand that the person that induced the suffering isn't good themselves, but you're still supposed to do it. Watch. But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Now, if someone makes a law and you decide to stand against it, go ahead. Don't equate everything you do that you don't want that you resist as that being you being righteous. This is one of the great downfalls of believers today in the United States of America. Is they immediately say, well, if I'm suffering, it's for righteousness' sake. It might be for your bullheadedness' sake. Now, see, I didn't say obey everything. I didn't. That's between you and God. I didn't say that you're bullheaded if you, for example, don't follow a certain mandate, like take the vaccine, for example. Okay? I didn't say that. I said that you've got to be sure that if you put yourself in the strife, you did it because it was a good work. Titus chapter 3. Okay, verse 1. So he goes on to say this, and we're going to tie all this together for a few minutes today. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Now, I've always taught that a good picture for that is this. You draw a circle, and you put a dot in the middle, and you write beside it, God. God is off limits. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. He's off limits. In other words, if you're gonna doubt something, complain about something, anything like that, it's not God that's going to be the object of it. Sanctify Him in your hearts. In other words, to sanctify is to set something aside, to make it sanct and holy and reverent. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. God is off limits. I promise you, if you'll follow that, it's going to help you. Now watch. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, I've had people say, well, why do you submit to that? And it's just something that's an inconvenience. It might be on the job, for example. Why do you submit to that? Now, I'm not talking about dealing with some things that you have to, you know, with work conditions and stuff. I'm not talking about, you know, hanging off the building without a harness and all that. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about people being rude, maybe, or hard on you. Or unfair. God never said anything would be fair. And sometimes they're unfair and it really doesn't have anything to do with us being righteous outwardly. But you know, if you're the enemy, you're the devil, you're going to stir up as much strife and as much ill feeling and as much conflict as you can for a real believer. And if you really do believe in the spirit world, that's going to be going on behind the scenes. So you sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Let me give you an example. It's a hard thing for a young loved one to die or to be killed by someone's actions. I know that for a fact. It's hard. But if you'll sanctify the Lord God in your heart, then you're ready to give an answer to every man that asks you if the reason to hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Saying, for example, God is God. God knows best. You say, well, that's not what's best for that baby brother of yours. Well, now hold on here, friend. How do you know what's best for him? The best place in the whole realm to be is in heaven with God. No danger, no mandates, no bad stuff you can get. See, you had both extremes going on this last couple of years. I had people I worked with saying, it doesn't exist. I got it. I got the COVID, and I'm telling you, it does exist. So you had something else. Okay, I'll put it to you this way. Whatever I had, I don't want again. Amen. See, and then there's the other extreme that's acting like you should walk around and be just living in fear. That's not God's way either. So watch. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, not because you are, as of, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Now, when will they be ashamed? The moment they do it? No, in the end. I am amazed at how short-sighted Christians are. Some of y'all live, you don't live as if there's an eternity. You don't live as if there's a heaven ahead. You don't live as if there's a judgment seat of Christ. You don't live as if there's a great white throne judgment. You live as if it's in this life, and if the Bible says that they may be ashamed, they're supposed to, boom, be ashamed to meet and live. Of course they're not going to be. They're never going to be ashamed on the moment. One out of 1,000 times, maybe not even that much. For it is better, verse 17, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, etc., etc. So you understand that, and drop down to chapter 4, verse 1. We tie this together today. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Okay? So your craving for liberty, your demand for liberty based upon where your citizenship is, for example, that's a lust. It is. Now, should you use it when you can? Yeah, but use it not for an occasion of the flesh. You're not supposed to suffer for some civil rights issue. You're not supposed to suffer for some inconvenience issue. Now you will suffer. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That is a promise from God that he wrote to one of his students. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So it will happen. It's going to happen. But, what are you and I supposed to do as children of God? See, the problem is, if we're not careful, we forget that we're to obey Him. And there's many, 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 many times and places to obey Him is to obey what's right in front of us. Now, only you can decide that. Your church can't decide it for you. I tell you the truth, and I've got to draw this to a close. Now watch. I can't tell you how many times I've done something with somebody. Let's say, for example, when I was down under, I'd play golf with some fella, and he was lost, and we'd play 9 holes of golf, and he'd say, let's go to the clubhouse. What he meant was to the, you know, on-site pub, basically. And I'd say, no thanks, I don't need it. And he'd get bristled up, say, well, I don't need it. I said, well, then let's just go grab a cup of tea or a Coke or something. And he would say, I know you. It's because your church won't let you. I said, my church don't tell me what to do, but my God tells me what to do. And I'd say it with a good attitude, but I'd say, they don't tell me what to do. I ain't afraid of no church, but I do fear God. And he tells me what to do. And so I would say this to you today as we close these four parts. Obey whom? You get your Bible out. You get your prayer time out. Okay? Get in your little prayer closet or your prayer chair or whatever. Start with obedience. If you're not careful, you'll start with what do I have to obey? No, start with obedience. Set Bible boundaries. And then suffer only for good. Be sure that whatever you suffer for is because you were strictly obeying God, not how you and I feel. I promise you, none of this stuff will lead you astray. And I pray to help you. God be with you.